Great. If you really are blessed today, then do come back tomorrow. I mean, there is a charge, though. There will be a slight charge, but just see one of the admin staff. But ideally, would have liked you to come last night as well, because it is a sort of a continuous thing. But I understand that Fridays can, you know, there can be other things going on. But anyway, so today is going to be the experience. We've had the introduction to the teaching, and today Jose will be doing three talks spread out throughout the day with gaps in between. But before I start, last night, I never get any sleep the night before, you know, the first night of the conference. It's, you know, it's just everything goes on in your head, and you go through all the scenarios of what has happened, what could happen. And then we had the Colin situation, and Colin decided to text me at 1 o'clock in the morning to tell me how he was doing, you know, just when I'd got off to sleep. but on that subject, I mean, some of you don't know it's Colin, and one of the sort of words that came to me during the night was, is that part of what we do today is should be to make the impossible possible. And I'm thinking of three specific things. One of them is a bit quirky, but the other two are very important. And the first one is Colin. Colin is someone we've known properly just for a few months, though I've known about him for a couple of years. And I was going to do a conference. He used to be the CMJ rep in Belfast, in the Northern Ireland. And then he left the scene for some reason, and it turned out that he caught this really bad disease, which Joe sort of, I think, described yesterday. It's a long name, I don't know what it is, but she mentioned it. And it is terminal, but he's not accepting that situation. He's someone that's so driven by his faith. He's just the most amazing witness to any of us. He came to our last conference. He flew over from Belfast just to come to, you know, a conference the other side of England. And we really felt he was going to be healed during that weekend. We prayed for him. And but, you know, we don't call the shots, you know. The Lord is in charge. And for whatever reason, Colin didn't actually take his medication during that weekend. He said he actually forgot, which seems a bit strange for someone who depends on his medication. But he had a really bad reaction when he came home. He's had a horrendous 2 months between that conference and here. And some of the things that happened, you know, for a start, he had a reaction to coming off his meds, I think, and he had to sort of had more tubes put in for dialysis. And the nurse made a mistake, and she put the tube in an artery instead of a vein, or the other way around. And he started going into, looked like a stroke. And it was so sort of shocking, the nurse fainted. and Colin, with Colin's sense of humour, he said, you know, all the doctors ignored him and went over to look after the nurse. And there was him lying there in shock. And the nurse on the floor with all the doctors around, but he saw the funny side of it, and this is what you get with Colin, is that he's not allowing his problem to hold him back in any way. I mean, he really shouldn't have come this weekend. You know, he wasn't as well as he pretended to be when he came yesterday. So I gave him lots of jobs to do. He wanted to do things. He put up the shop, and he put up the posters. He's climbing up ladders and climbing on chairs and all that. As a result of that, he totally exhausted himself. He fainted, and he banged his head when he fainted. It wasn't that bad, actually, but the paramedics came last night, took him to hospital. So he's there at the moment. They put him on an antibiotic drip throughout the night. And he said he was feeling okay, but being Colin, he witnessed to four people in the hospital and gave out leaflets despite what he's going through. I think Joe's now gone over to see how he is, and hopefully she may be bringing him back today, so you'd all get to meet Colin, because he's a remarkable person, and, you know, despite everything. So I think, you know. And I did sort of hear this in the prayer room this morning, is that should be one of our targets in terms of making the impossible possible, is to really pray for his complete healing. you know, because it's just no joke, you know, why, again, we can't sort of query God when we can't make our demands on him. We can just say that, you know, Colin is someone who's very dear to us, despite everything that's inflicting him. He's just going ahead with his ministry. You know, he runs book tables, he gives talks, he organises things. He sends out literature. He just does it. Even while he's on dialysis, he's texting people and emailing. Anyway, that's Colin. That's the first thing. There's another person we should be praying for is Muriel at the front here, Muriel Smith, who Muriel and Eric have been coming for about 4-5 times. We've been to foundations, hundreds of them, loads of times. They're like permanent fixtures. And but Muriel's not very well. I don't know whether Eric wants to tell us what we should be praying for Muriel.
Can you hear me all right? Muriel has some terrible problems with her esophagus. She's having problems, went to the hospital, went back to the
hospital.
Oh, why don't you come here, Eric? Yeah.
Hear me now? Oh, that's better. That's better. Mira has great difficulties with her esophagus. About 6 months ago, perhaps just a little over, went to the hospital, and they diagnosed it with something called Barrett's esophagus, which is not cancerous, but it can lead to cancer. So they decided to have her in hospital and do something called halo treatment, which I guess is sort of a laser treatment to actually burn this out. What wasn't made clear to us at the time, that after that, there can be problems. Mira's problems afterwards is that the esophagus keeps narrowing. And so she has to go back and have a dilation, whereas the esophagus is stretched, but it won't stay open very long. It starts to close again. And what they've done now is to insert a stent into the esophagus. She's actually on her third stent at the moment, because unlike a stent for a heart condition, they can't leave the stent in. 6 weeks is the maximum, it has to come out. And this particular stent is causing her a lot of pain and a lot of problems. It was very uncertain not whether we'd be able to get to this conference. Those of you at the table, I mean, last night you would have seen it, when she eats food that is liquidized most of the time, in a very, very small amount. And even that is causing her great pain. Been a lot of prayer in our church, as you can imagine, but so far we haven't seen any real touch from God. Again, as Steve has said, you know, it's in God's hands, and we're trusting God. He knows what he's doing. But to see a breakthrough would be really wonderful. We would appreciate your prayers. So thank you.
Thanks, Eric. So today, when you get time, then maybe get together in groups and pray for Muriel and for Colin. Well, from the sublime to the ridiculous, it's a little bit of a joke, but we also need prayer for a mechanical device. Someone's car, Anita's part of our fellowship in London. She drove over, her car's virtually clapped out, and we're not quite sure how she's going to get home. And I promise her that a small group of people will pray over her car. So, you know, God can do anything. This is not healing in the normal sense, but it's in the realm of the miraculous. So why not? So God can do anything, and let's get Anita home. Otherwise, Devon will have Anita for far too long. So there we go. So that's the introduction. What I'm going to do now is just explain what's going to happen today, in terms of what we call Hebraic Church or Freedom of the Spirit. You might have noticed lots of signs around the place that were put up this morning, in interesting places. If you're observant, if you're not observant, then I can't see how you missed them, like on the stairs. The pulpit was a pulpit doing on top of the stairs. So what I'm going to do is just go through these things, and these are based on principles from the book that every one of you has to read, because the teacher told you so. So this is from Hebraic Church. It's the two principles, and I'll just the two main principles that are relevant to our gathering this weekend are firstly the fact that the God sort of interacts with people in time. He sort of breaks through into time, and there's plenty of biblical precedents for this, as you know, God breaking through to Abraham, or Abraham as he was then, and basically saying, "Get out of there!" You know, he was in the wrong place, and Abraham needed to move, and God gave him this instruction, sort of broke through into the time zone of Abraham and gave him that instruction. And you see all the way through the Old Testament and the New, times where God just comes and speaks to his prophets and gives instructions to individuals, and also to the nations. You know, we got the major event of the Old Testament of Mount Sinai, with, you know, a couple of million odd people standing at the bottom of Mount Sinai, and God speaking to them as a corporate nation, not to individuals, but God breaking through, and his audible voice speaking to all those people, sort of saying, you know, this is what I'm going to lay down for you. You can accept it or you can reject it. You can be my holy nation or not. And obviously they accepted. So that's how God works, you know, through time. And what is relevant for us is that he still does that now. And we, in the book, I sort of call them God moments. We all need to have these God moments. And sometimes we're not in an environment that makes it possible. You know, because of our busy lives, it's very hard sometimes to have the stillness and the state of mind to allow God to actually speak to you, to actually be able to listen to what he's saying. And our churches can reflect that sometimes. And, you know, this Greek style that we've grown up with programs and sort of, you know, worship times and orders of service and, you know, everything done in a certain order. Sometimes there's just no time there for God to actually speak to individuals. And that's what we're doing here, is that we're turning the whole thing on its head. And rather than us at the front telling you what you're going to be doing, you're going to figure it out yourself. So after Jose has done his first talk, which is sort of going to introduce what he's doing today, you are then going to respond in whatever way is right for you. So you're not going to get one talk after another, which is normal at conferences, where you just got information overload. And once you've absorbed one talk, suddenly you've got the second talk on a totally different subject, and you sort of lose the moment. So we're allowing you to keep the moment. So your moment may be that something that he has said has sort of made some sense to you, and you want to delve into it a little bit more, perhaps go into the biblical side of it, and he will obviously give you some scriptures, and you want to sort of look at the scriptures yourselves and examine them with other people. So we have an opportunity for you to do that. So the first thing we're going to have, or one of the things we're going to have, is a yeshiva. Okay. Yeshiva is just sort of Jewish Bible study, basically. But it's like Bible study, but noisier, you know. it's not neat and tidy. It's preferably in small groups, perhaps in the same room, but you're just sort of, just with two or three others, you're sort of really questioning the scripture and questioning each other and just seeing where it takes you. So we have a room, the room where you're having the prayers this morning, that is now the yeshiva. You'll see the sign outside, yeshiva. So what's going to happen, when we finish the next session, I think we might have refreshments then, but at that time you're free, if you want to go into the yeshiva, where Jose will be there, and I think David at the back will be there, to actually just sort of facilitate. And come and go as you please, but that will be specifically for Bible study and for wrestling with the scriptures, and that will be open for as long as you want to, you know, this morning and in the first session this afternoon. So that's the yeshiva. The other place, which is next door the yeshiva, the quiet room, it's the chapel, which is quite apt. but we call it our quiet room. In the quiet room, there are two tables. One table has a goldfish bowl on it. Seems a bit weird. This is the confessional. And there's no goldfish in there to take the confessional. We're not substituting a priest with a goldfish. but the whole point is that we have a goldfish bowl full of water. Now, you can use that room anytime you like. Anytime when you feel you need to be by yourself or with maybe other people and you want to unburden yourself. So we have these bits, strips of paper, and anything that comes to mind that you want to confess, you have the scripture 1 John 1:9, you know, about confessing your sins. You write down on that piece of paper what is troubling you, what your sin is or burden, and stick it in the water and it will dissolve. If it doesn't dissolve, there's a spoon to push it in. Because there was one left behind the last time, back in April. One was sort of left on the side and we saw the sin. But it wasn't signed, so there was no condemnation for whoever it was. So I think it was Eric, actually. So feel free to use that at any time. And also, on the other table, we have communion, which you don't need a priest to administer it or a vicar. You're free to take it yourself with other people whenever you want to or not at all. We use unleavened bread, we use the matzah, and you'll see there's wine there and there's a grape juice as well. So everything is in the quiet room. At any time you can use that room during the day at your leisure. So that's a quiet room. What else have we got? We're going to have... sometime, I think I've mentioned breakfast, worship, choir practice. We always, at the end of our weekends, we always end up with a choir and a dance group. But they don't have much of a time to practice. But last time it was beautiful, you know, in Belsey Bridge. I can't believe. And Joe actually writes the song this morning. She's just written it. She's written the song that you're going to be singing tomorrow morning. And she did the same in Belsey Bridge. So if you're interested in joining the choir, seek Joe out. And I think the practice is, I think she said, she's not here. I think it's 4:30. 2:45. Choir practice here. Around the piano with Joe, if you're interested in, and then you'll be performing that tomorrow morning as part of our sort of celebration service. Okay, so that's the choir. Also, at any time during the day today, you can come into this room, and if you want to play piano or just sing together, that's fine as well. So, you know, worship, you know, sung worship is obviously the traditional thing we do to worship, and we're saying that it's totally acceptable for, you know, for the way that we're going to communicate and to worship God. So that's that. We've got drama. Right, Carol, where is she? Carol and David are our drama teachers. No? All right. Dance. Oh, did I say drama? Sorry, it's not a similar word. Right, dance. You can do a bit of drama. It's dramatic dance. I'm not sure. Well, she's going to come up in a second. Tell us when she's going to do it. As you walk through here, that very long room is. There are three aspects to that room. This side of it is a big space for dance practice. So whenever Carol says you're going to do dance practice, that's where you'll be practicing. She's going to obviously inspire you in a minute, particularly men, I think, to come up and dance. Some of us are exempted, though. And you don't want David to be the only man to be dancing, do you? Nah. No. I'm far too busy. I told you that, you know. But I'll find someone. Danny says he'll do some dancing. No, shaking his head. Right, okay, so in the same room, just going to that room, so we've got dance, right, testimony. Well, get a bit cup. Well, can't you read it? No. It doesn't matter, you're listening to me. I'm sure you couldn't even read it at the back anyway, even if I was writing with a proper pen. So, just I can't see anyone writing notes. You'll figure it out. If you're just come to the front later on just to check on these things. But the other thing is testimony. So in that long room where the dance workshop, the next station along are some settees in a sort of a configuration. And I think we're calling that something like tell us your story. So if you sit on the settee, you have to give a testimony, okay? Which most people don't need to be encouraged. They do it quite freely. But it's just a nice little area for people just to sit there anytime during the day and just take turns. I think maybe 10 minutes maximum. I know sometimes it can go on for hours and someone will have to be there with a bell after 10 minutes. So just to give everyone a chance and just come and go as you please. And that's for testimony. Next to that, we have the craft workshop. We're calling it Craft and Chat because it can be very therapeutic doing these crafty things. Even if you're no good at crafts, you can still colour things in. I'm just about to do that. But people find that by doing these things, it opens them up to conversation as well. We had that at the last conference. It was quite popular. People just to sit there and just to chat and just sort of colouring in as they're chatting, you know. So Monica's going to come up and in a minute and explain. Do you want to explain more about that? Oh, they can read the sheet. Yeah, she's far too busy. Oh, no, she's coming. Hold on a sec. Just finish my bit. Oh, too late. She's going to do it now. Oh, you want me to read it? You can choose to design a bookmark and laminate it. You can colour a scripture card to take home as a gift for someone or for yourself. Monica will explain to you, exactly how you're going to do these things. You can make a handprint and write scripture in the palm of your hand or around it. So it's getting a bit messy, but there's a bucket of water to clean your hands afterwards. Very popular, you know. Someone yesterday, I think it was Joe, said being like children today, you know. Well, it couldn't be more like children than getting your hands dirty, you know. So get your hands dirty and we'll have lots of palm prints. Decorate a candle, take home as a gift so that there's candles there to decorate. Upcycle Bible Society 2016 calendar by adding your design to it, etc. Designing greetings. But so there's plenty to do. Again, just come and go as you please, and maybe just watch someone else do it. If Colin does come back, Colin's got his great gift of sort of calligraphy. He's also a Hebrew scholar. He worked as a chef in the Tel Aviv Hilton for 10 years. So he's also a caterer, but he knows Hebrew. And what he does, he will write, if he's there, if he comes back, he will write your name in Hebrew letters and give it to you on a piece of card. And he was giving them out last time. So that's a good reason to pray for him to come back, even for our own selfish reasons. There you go. Okay, so that's crafts. The other two things, in the reception area, there are the settees there. We have Bible readings, and there'll always be a couple of people to sort of run the thing. And what it is just, a book of the Bible will be chosen, and we're going to read through the whole book, and everyone will take turns, maybe 5 minutes each. And this is purely voluntary, and the point is just to soak the whole atmosphere with scripture. Which would be a good witness to the staff here as well. And I said to them they can take part as well if they want to. So at the reception area, there ought to be continuous reading of scripture and anyone can take part. Just go to the organisers and stick your name on the list and then join in there. So that will happen fairly soon afterwards. Ah, we've got prayer walks. Yeah, you're doing one, aren't you? Rosemary and Sarah are doing a prayer walk, which I suggest would start from the next room here. You can sort of congregate there. The next room, I'll put a sign, the entrance hall. I'll put a big sign there saying prayer walk. and I think 11 o'clock, led by Rosemary and Sarah. That's the morning one, and there'll be one in the afternoon. We have a special treat, thanks to Sarah and her brainwave here. We're going to have a bonfire this afternoon, and we're going to burn all the heretics. I've sussed a few of you out, you know. No one in particular. So, any volunteers for that? No. Apparently, that they have an area here for a bonfire, and they're going to at 4:30, just after sunset. We can all, as many who want to, can congregate around the fire, and it could be a worship time or healing time or anything, whatever the Lord leads. And we believe it's not going to rain. So at 4:30, we'll remind you later on about that. And the last thing was the pulpit. You might have seen it on the top of the stairs. Perfect preaching platform, okay, with settees underneath armchairs. This worked really well at Quinta. The idea is that any of you have a story or want to preach anything, you get 10 minutes maximum, go to the top of the stairs, and just let loose. it's got to be biblical. We're not having anything. You're not discussing your football team. You're not going into politics. We don't talk about no Brexit, no Trump. I'm sorry, but that's about covers most things. But no, just anything, you know, that perhaps you don't get the opportunity in your own fellowship to speak, and you might have something you want to say, and you'll get an opportunity. Now, we will have our young man at the back with his little bell, and if he thinks there's something that you're veering off the subject or going into politics or anything like that, he'll ring the bell. If you hear the bell, you have to stop. No questions, no debate. You stop, and the next person comes up. He will also ring the bell when time's up, 10 minutes. So it's no more than 10 minutes. So again, that will happen all through the day. And that, I say, that's at the top of the stairs. Right, so all we need to mention now is for Carol to have a little... tell us a little bit about the dance workshop.
Steve?
Yep.
Is the pulpit for women as well as men?
No, women. Yeah, of course. No. What usually happens, it's mostly women. No, they're the only ones bold enough. Yeah, women and men. Yeah. There you go.
I'm a bit confused, really.
Oh, dear. That's a good start.
Well, there's so much going on, and I was just going to... do little dance slots this afternoon, but then if we've got to prepare something to present tomorrow morning, I want to make sure we can do it all right. So I thought perhaps if we had dancing at 12:15, just for half an hour this morning, and then in the Freedom in the Spirit slots this afternoon, to repeat it perhaps for a shorter time so that people aren't just tied, can have a bit of free time to do other things. And it's very simple dancing. It's based on Israeli dance workshops, mostly to pure scripture, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And I didn't start doing this till I was almost 70, so age isn't a barrier, and it would be lovely, and especially as Steve said, to have some men, and it's just really wonderful. And if you think you couldn't possibly do that, you couldn't possibly, but secretly in your heart, you'd love to be able to move your whole body in worship, then come along and have a go. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Just out of curiosity, how many people would come to the dance workshop? Oh, look, loads. There you go. I didn't see any men, though, apart from David. Oh, there's one man. Yeah, you got. There was another. No, there's... No, my hand's down. No, David at the back has put his hand up for me, so there you go. So you've got one other man. Okay. Yeah, come on. Yeah. Oops. What do I do with this?
Oh,
you need your camera.
Oh, we should put it back on. So just... Just a quick thing. When we gather for the prayer walk, if you can rug up warm, please. And I'm not anticipating us getting muddy, so just sensible shoes. You know, we're not going anywhere muddy. And bring a Bible as well.
Okay, where's he gone? Oh, he's at the back. He's getting mic'd up now. Okay, that's about all I'm going to say. Just so, if anything's confusing, then speak to me afterwards. But you should see signs for all the things I've just mentioned. It should be pretty obvious where they all are. And like I said, you just do it in your own time. You may choose to do nothing. You may just want to read your Bible or just pray with someone. That's fine as well. So really, we're just providing these things as an opportunity for you to perhaps do something different to what you wouldn't do at home. So that's where it will go, and it's up to you to have an adventure. Right? Have an adventure with God today. This could be a real opportunity to reacquaint yourself with Him and to find what your real purpose is. If you don't know yet, and you know, there's no shame in that. Not knowing, because you may not have been in an environment, in a fellowship that really encourages you to find out what your gifting is. But what we're saying is that all of you do have giftings. If you haven't discovered it yet, pray for it. Pray with other people. Ask others what they think about what your gifting could be. But today could be the day where you might discover a new direction. So make the most of it today. At Belsey Bridge, after lunch, suddenly there was a massive decrease in the numbers who were wandering around, and we found out that about half the people there went for a nap. So I'm sure they were doing freedom in the spirit in their dreams. but they had a good time anyway. So I think you're going to have part two of Joe saying now. So